I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. All right? Oh. Is that light on? Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit. I already shut this off, so. Okay. I want to talk to you about strongholds a little bit this morning. Not an easy time to preach, just to be real honest, going through a hard time in the family, and in prayer, of course, about our son and his wife, and just being the open people that we are, just say that, helps to say it, actually. It's a time of closeness to God. God is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and when you're going through difficult things, Alan and I have had extensive conversations about that as he's spending a lot of time with God. God's nigh unto them of a broken heart. When you're going through difficulties, God draws especially near. I always am mindful of that this time of year because November 18th will be 10 years since my leukemia and near death with leukemia. Many of you went through that with us. And God is unusually close if our heart is open to Him. Of course, we have the choice. We're at a crossroads when we face difficult times. We can become bitter and angry. We can get lost in the why forest. Why did this happen? Why? And chase unanswered questions that are plaguing us. Go lots of directions in difficult times. And God doesn't love us any less when we do that. It isn't that He pulls away from us. But if we develop an angry heart, and then that takes root and we become bitter, we shut out the Holy Spirit. It isn't that He isn't wooing and calling, but we shut Him out. And that's why I think of all the messages over the years, probably the one that was taken the most as far as CDs was Anger Takes You Out. We have an age we live in that fosters anger and bitterness. And God wants to work with us in every moment of our life, but if I buy into certain thinking, He can't work with me. It isn't He doesn't love me. It isn't He didn't die for me, absolutely. He cherishes me as His son and you as His son or daughter. But He can't be part of that. And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to work through you. But I can't be part of that. And so we have a choice. We are creatures with a will. And God, in a sense, if I can say it very reverently, took a big chance when He gave man a will. But do you want a robot to love? No. Do you want a robot to love you? No. You want someone with a will and a choice. It makes sense. We're made in the image of God, and God wants us to choose Him. And so there's a sense in which He took a chance when He gave us a will. And we certainly can exercise that will. And God stands back from the human will. God stands back from the human will. We can set our jaw and say, I will not. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, it says in Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Persistence, the Lord will come to you over and over throughout your life. And it'll be sometimes through visits to the funeral home. It'll be through various things, incidents in our life, sometimes tragedies in our life. And we hear the knocking of the Lord on our heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him. I want to come in. I want to have supper with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have koinonia with you. I want to bond with you. But I can make choices then where God can't be part of that. I've often said to people struggling with a variety of addictions, I've said, when you turn on that computer and let that addiction take over, God loves you as much as He did before you turned it on, but He says, I can't be part of this. And you're on your own. And it's a risky world out there to be on your own. Anybody agree with that? These are days we need the presence of the Lord. We need the abiding presence of the Lord. And I want to be honorable in my vessel. Does that make sense? Where am I going with this? I want to talk about strongholds this morning. Things that get a grip and a hold on us. And I meant to have on the wall this morning the verse 2 Corinthians 10:4, but we'll just go without it. 2 Corinthians 10:4 talks about the pulling down of strongholds. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly weapons, but they are power through God for the pulling down of strongholds. There are things in your life that only prayer can accomplish and prayer for you can accomplish. the pulling down of strongholds. I think these are days when people deal with a lot of strongholds. And of course, that comes from the scripture, and it's worded a variety of ways. What is a stronghold? Well, first of all, it's a strong hold. Don't complicate it. Don't over-spiritualize it, that it has some deep, long theological definition. A strong hold. There's various ways that the Greek word describes in the scripture, and it's translated stronghold there in 2 Corinthians 4, but there's other places as well, and the meaning is very specific, but yet it includes a number of things. A castle is a stronghold. It has a moat around it. It's well protected. Up in the mountains, if you've ever seen the old Western movie, I like the historical movie. It's built on historical fact, actually. You can tell how old I am. It's Jimmy Stewart. It's Broken Arrow. And it shows in that movie the awesome trip that he took back through the mountain passes and up and through the difficult terrain to arrive at the Apache stronghold, it's called in the movie. The stronghold, a place where nobody could get to it. So there's a positive way in that we are very strong in the Lord and we develop a spiritual stronghold in our relationship with Him. It's through continual intimacy with God and time with Him that we become on Christ, the solid rock I stand, a spiritual stronghold. But there are also demonic strongholds where we very much, if you can think of the castle and the moat again, we move into the enemy's domain. It's no longer a temptation out here that draws us in. We've moved camp over and we're on his territory. And that God will speak to your heart on where you are on this issue this morning. I won't need to micromanage in this message. What I need to do is give truth and let God use that. I look at the various people. I see Dan over here and Vince and those of you who spend a lot of time working with people in addictions. Addictions is a stronghold. That's one of many. We often use that because it's a clear one. It's an obvious one. But it gets a hold, a strong hold, to the point that it's no longer we're just drawn in occasionally. We've moved. We've moved and we're camped over there. And it's hard for people to get to us. We've become isolated. It's an enemy's stronghold. Pornography is an obvious stronghold. But my friends, may I stretch you a little bit and say that there are also extremely and equally serious strongholds that aren't as obvious. There are strongholds of hate and bitterness, where you actually moved and set up camp on the other side and you're in the enemy's domain and you look out through the eyes of bitterness at everything. You know anybody like that? I can take you to people that can go back to an event in their life where hate took root. Beware, it says in Hebrews, lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. A point in their life, I call it the satanic setup. Mike's testimony last week did a wonderful job on his testimony. A time in his life where he was dealing with an addiction in that particular case, but there was an event that was the turning point, the satanic setup. And often we can look back and see an event in our life. I've sat with people who, with tears running down their face, have described an incident, and I realized that that was the turning point in their life where a stronghold took hold in their life. And hate and bitterness can be a stronghold, and we can go lots of directions with this. But I would like God to apply it as He will as we talk about these deep yet simple things today. God is in the business of breaking strongholds. I want to set that platform first of all. God is in the business of breaking through in strongholds. Jesus didn't come, bleed and die. Many of you have seen the Passion, and I think that in the last days, it's interesting how that the church has dropped the ball And God has his way. He'll use others, use Hollywood, use whatever he would, for he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And even though the movie, The Passion, is short of what really happened, for after all the gruesome, ugly things, Jesus descended into hell for 3 days. And we don't know exactly how long he was there, because one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And when you cross over into timelessness, we're not real sure. Our mind can't quite get around that. But there was more to it, but I think that's as probably good a physical description, the passion of it, as anything I've seen. I've seen a lot of attempts to describe the crucifixion, and I think that's as close, but I think it's still short, and it's interesting how God has used that. But Jesus didn't bleed and die and descend into hell for 3 days and minister to the spirits in prison and actually experience his Father God turning away from him, because when the sins of the world were put on Jesus, God can't look on sin, and that's why Jesus cried out in the flesh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though he understood in the spiritual sense all that was going on, and he knew that he was dying for the sins of the world. Yet in the flesh, it's so illustrated as he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God in Jesus didn't go through all of that so that we could turn over a new leaf or try to be a little better person or be a good neighbor. Or God went through all of that so that we could be delivered from strongholds. Do you connect with that? And that's what we offer the world. That's what we're about in this location. That's God has using us in a unique way in this 4 or 5 county area, that we are about deliverance from strongholds, and Jesus brings deliverance, and God is in the business of breaking strongholds. About a year ago, I think it's been a year probably, God showed me some things about addictions and strongholds from Peter's deliverance from prison. And if you have a Bible, want to turn to Acts chapter 12. We've used this passage from time to time. We were in Oklahoma. Kevin led the mentoring group on Tuesday, and I'm not sure they talked about Peter, and I'm not sure what all they talked about. If they talked about any of this or not, it wasn't there. But God, about a year ago, gave me some thoughts from this, Acts chapter 12. And I'm going to read these scriptures and probably will say a few things about them as we go along. Acts chapter 12, 1 through 19. And then we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about strongholds. And I think I'm going to turn that iPad back on so that I can see the notes I had for the wall, because it will remind me of some things I wanted to tie in that I don't have in my notes. This is an awesome story. This is just, I have many favorite stories in the Bible, but this is one of them. Some powerful truths. Acts chapter 12. Now, you know, some amazing things had been happening in the book of Acts up to this time. Peter was being saturated, I guess would be the best way to say it, with the power of God, to a point that if you can imagine, people were wanting his shadow to pass over them as he walked along the streets. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, of course, had been up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. But as you look, it wasn't just the power of God confined to the men that had the most awesome experiences. When Jesus went back to the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit came on the whole group, and they began choosing others, Stephen and Philip and various ones that you didn't hear much about. Of course, Stephen wasn't one of the original apostles or one of the original disciples, but men that you didn't hear mentioned before, God was using in an unusual way. But Peter was one that his shadow, it wasn't Peter, it was the power of the Holy Spirit on him so strong that his shadow would cover someone, and they would experience healing. And some awesome things were happening here in the book of Acts, but then things kind of shift, and there's a shakeup. In chapter 12, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Wow. Said this a number of times over the years, but I need to say it again this morning. Sometimes something will come along and throw you. I actually said that in the James service 2 months ago. Little did I know some things that families, including our family, would experience. But I said something at the James service about that I felt there was something prophetic in nature about something that was going to throw us as a group and individually. Awesome things happening. The power of God at work. Herod arrests Peter and cuts off the head of James. Wow. What's that about? Sometimes there's things that come along to throw you. Hang on. Don't jump out in the storm. It's worse out there. Hang on. Don't jump out in the storm. Oh, it's stormy. I'm stormy. This boat's rocking harder than I ever thought. Don't jump over. Hang on. God will be with you through those hardest of times. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 16, four squads of four soldiers each, 16 soldiers. So can you see Peter here? He's in chains. We know that from the passage a little later. He's personally chained. His hands are chained together. He's chained. And then there are 16 soldiers guarding him. They evidently had heard stories about Peter. I would suspect that they would think I was a dangerous man if they had me chained down and had 16 guys guarding me, wouldn't you think? Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. Don't miss that, even though that's not the topic today. The church was earnestly praying for him. Church, let's not drop the ball. Talking to myself as well. Our prayer lists at times overwhelming, yes. Does it seem at times that there's endless need? Yes. Be faithful in prayer. Be creative in your prayers. Don't let the routine of prayer get you down. Just a little practical thing here I'm going to throw in. Been praying for 42 years and taking prayer pretty seriously. And there can be times when you feel like it's kind of routine and God doesn't seem as close as other times. We're emotional beings and all relationships are that way. Don't be thrown by that. It's a walk of faith. God will show up from time to time in unusual ways, but it isn't always going to be a honeymoon experience. But be faithful in prayer. And be creative in your praying. If you have difficulty in getting a rut in praying, write your prayers. Type your prayers. I remember we were raising a family and the boys were all little. We were heating a house with wood and trying to build a house at the same time. And I was working lots of hours and life was hectic where many of you are right now. I remember getting up early before everyone else. We had a wood stove and I would sit there by that cozy warm wood stove. Boy, when you stoked that up in the morning, that was a sweet spot to sit. And the kids were all still asleep. And I would write prayers and just write the names of people that were heavy on my heart. When I was done, I'd tear it up, put it in the stove and say, Lord, I leave that with you. I let it go. I give that to you today. Be creative. Different ways to pray. Don't hesitate to ask to come here and pray. I know of people that have said, hey, I want to be able to come here and pray, and we can work that out. Different places to pray, different ways to pray. Be creative in your prayer time, but be faithful in prayer. Peter was in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. And I preached on this a few months ago, but stay with me. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side. That'd freak you out, wouldn't it? He struck Peter on the side. Imagine that, being there in jail for the gospel, wondering why you're there. I thought it's interesting that he's sleeping. You know, the Lord rebuked me on that just a little bit. In studying this, I had thought, man, anxious Tom, you know, I'd have been sitting there in the base. If they were writing this about me, they would have said, Tom was there in the prison with 16 soldiers. I doubt they need that many. But 16 soldiers there watched him, and he had three jars of Tums right next to him, and he was an anxious mess and wide awake. But you know what? That isn't the truth. When I joked about that to myself, God rebuked me and said, what about in the hospital 10 years ago, the night they told you you wouldn't live? I said, you're right. And you know what it told me? God will show up. God will show up. I know that from personal experience. I often wondered what it would be like. I'd preached for years. I'd been involved in ministry. I'd stood at bedsides and read the 23rd Psalm. But I'd never had a life-threatening experience myself. Oh, I'd been threatened to be killed a few times. I had worked in the inner city and some of that. But to actually be at death's door and blood coming from your gums, and some of you can relate to that type of experience, to actually look in the mirror and they say, you may not live the night, and you think, I don't think so either. But I found out that God shows up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He doesn't give you the grace till the time comes. Don't burn up energy watching the news saying, oh, what will we do? When the time comes, he'll show up. That's what faith is. If he gave you the assurance ahead of time, you wouldn't need any faith. And I found from personal experience that when they said you won't live the night, we don't believe you'll live the night, that I prayed and said, Lord, I give you my family, the ministry, I give you future grandchildren, I give you the one grandson that I have. Braxton was the only one at the time. Lord, I give you all of those things. And I crawled in bed and went to sleep. And when I joked about myself in reading this and thought, boy, I'm not like Peter, the Lord said, oh, aren't you? Go ahead and claim it. It's okay. We put these guys way up on pedestals. They were human beings too. But God showed up for them, and he'll show up for you. You with me? He showed up for them, and he'll show up for you. Suddenly an angel appeared. And a light shone in the room. Can you see that? Peter, get up. Get up. I'd be like, the world's that? Man, all right. Bright light? Is that what it says later that he realized he wasn't dreaming? Human just like us. Notice this. He struck Peter on the side and said, quick, get up. Quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. That's a powerful thing right there. Get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. We'll come back to that. Then the angel said to him, in an interesting God's sensitivity, get your shoes. I'd have been like, man, I'm awake. Let's get the heck out of here. Those chains are off me. Excuse me. While I'm free here, I'm going to get out of here. You see God's sensitivity? He's a God of detail. You ever lay down in the grass and look among the grass, the tiny little flowers you'll find, that God's a God of detail. Put on your clothes and your sandals, and Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. It's cold out there, partner. Put your coat on. You know, you'd be in a hurry here. I'm here. Devil's all about panic. Jesus is a shepherd. Come this way. Come this way. Here's the way. Walk in it. That driving force in your life, that isn't the Lord. How do I know the voice of the Lord, one may ask? Or if it's the enemy. The enemy's that driving force. He's back here, yawn, and the sheep are scattered. The Lord is the gentle shepherd that says, come on, come on, come on. Go, watch out. Get your coat. It's only 40 degrees out there, son. Grab your coat. Go ahead, latch up your sandals. Let's go. We see all the attributes of God, even in this story, through the angel that he sent. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he's seeing a vision or dreaming, which would obviously be what we would think. Excuse me. They passed the first and second guards, came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance. Kevin talked to you about this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to hit it lightly and then go back to the chains that fell off of Peter. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came and answered the door. Now remember, they had been earnestly praying for him. But when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and said, "Peter is at the door." And they said, "You're out of your mind." Now, let's not miss something here. I've missed this a number of times. Isn't it interesting that the young Christian's the one that recognized him? The young girl came to the door. I think sometimes as we grow, we plateau. And sometimes the new Christian has a passion and a recognition of the Lord that makes us look bad. Old timers, that'd be me and Guy. Let's stay fresh in recognizing the voice of the Lord. The Lord sent Peter that day, and Peter knocked on the door, and Rhoda, she was overjoyed. And she said, "Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door. I want to stay simple enough to believe the truth." I think we get too complicated with the gospel. I think we get too theological. "Oh, there's no way. That's not the way he would have done it." Does God have to do it a certain way for you to believe him? And you know what? Just about the time you think he's going to do it one way, he'll do it a different way. That's why we got to be careful being so doctrinal. I've had people, "Here's how it happened to me. And here's the box, and here's how it's going to happen to you. And you got to be in this box." You know, God can do it however he wants to do it. I'd like to add up sometimes, don't mean to be satirical here, maybe a little bit. But I'd like to add up in my life all the ways I've heard that you're supposed to surrender and receive the Holy Spirit. And I still say God's going to do it the way he wants to do it. Now, there's some basic principles. There's some basic principles that will follow scriptural context and the Word of God. But let God be to you in the way that he deals with you. And I think sometimes the young Christian has a better grip. Young Rhoda here had a better grip. She said, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. And when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "Well, it's his angel." Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I don't want to be surprised when God does what he does. I don't want to be surprised when God does what he does. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Can you see that? I think we're going to get to see some of this in heaven. It'd be fun to see. Can you see him telling about it? Saying, "What would you say?" I'd say, "You ain't going to believe this. You got some good stories. Wait to hear this one. I'm sound asleep in the prison. There's 16 guys all around me, and I'm chained up right here. And this angel shows up, and there's a great big light, and the chains fall off my hands." What an awesome story. A lot can be said about that. Let's move along. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for them and did not find them, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. All right. We can say a million things about this chapter. It's just packed with stuff, good stuff. Peter, and it might seem a little strange to draw some addictions principles and stronghold principles from this, but I believe that this is a word from the Lord. First of all, we see Peter in some personal chains. I intend to have that up on the wall, personal chains. I believe that with a stronghold, there are personal chains. Then there were 16 soldiers. And I believe those are powerful opposing forces. And then there were the prison walls that opened up out into the world. Where are you as far as the personal chains? First, we see the angels say, get up. A decision has to be made. I have decided to follow Jesus, the teen church t-shirts say. Have you seen anybody wearing them? I like those t-shirts. I have decided to follow Jesus. Some have gone years and decided to follow Jesus, decided not to follow Jesus, decided to follow Jesus, decided not to follow Jesus, decided to follow Jesus, decided not to follow Jesus. An unstable man, a man thirsting after two things, is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man. You cannot serve two masters. The personal chains came off when the heartfelt decision was made to follow Jesus. Get up. And when Peter responded to that, the chains came off of his wrists. Strongholds, being in the devil's domain. This thing has gotten to a level that now you've moved in there. You're hard to get to. God's trying to get through to you, but you got your barriers all up in your moat. And you got to drop the drawbridge to even get across it. A stronghold is anything you're enslaved to. 2 Corinthians 10:4, I referred to a while ago, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we see personal chains. And the first step in that is answering the call from the heart. One of the characters we've studied in the mentoring group is Daniel, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We read chapters later that this is the same man that withstood the lion's den, but it started with a simple decision. Peter, of course, had to tell the church he was in prison, or they wouldn't have been earnestly praying. The 12 steps begin with admitting, I'm in prison. Here's who I am. Here's what I am. But it's not God's intent that you stay there. And strongholds can be all kinds of things. But the personal chains won't come off until we, and I believe that only we, can make that decision to answer the call to get up. Then there's the 16 soldiers. Oh, and the human side, if it isn't for God's involvement and God taking over, the human side, it can be overwhelming. There's 16 soldiers to get past. Look at how easy, and I say that carefully, but look at how easy we read this chapter and see when the decision was made, the heartfelt decision, how that Peter was walked through the three layers of personal chains, opposing forces, the 16 soldiers, and the walls of the prison to be opened up. If I can be real practical the next few minutes, I believe that after the personal chains, the next layer, the 16 soldiers, is the opposing forces. The friends, the association, who we spend our time with. Opposing forces that want to pull us back in. In the scripture it says that God wants to do a new thing in the book of Isaiah. Admitting where we are. Admitting that a stronghold has developed in my life. Making the decision of the personal chains to come off. And then going through those opposing forces by the grace and strength of our Lord. And God will walk us through that a step at a time. Making those changes in who we're with, who we're around, those opposing forces of the world. I have something I often say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And then there's the prison walls that let us out into the world. And it's interesting that the minute Peter realized he was back out in the world, he ran to the church meeting. Went straight to the house where they were praying for him. Only God can walk us out of our personal chains and through the opposing forces and bring us out to the outer gate where we're back into the... We've lived in a false reality, especially in drug and alcohol addiction. We've lived in a false reality. And only God can bring us out of that. But it's interesting, when he got out and the walls got past the prison walls, the gates opened on their own. It's interesting, it says the angel left him. There's a time when God has helped you with his power and grace, and he waits to see where you'll turn. Peter went straight to the house where they were earnestly praying. I have five things here that are very consistent with the 12 steps, Dan and Vince. Condensing some, confession, first of all. Mike used that in his testimony last week. Confess your faults and you'll be healed. Confession. I'm in prison. I need prayer. Admission of where I am. I need your help. The earnest prayer of yourself and others. New faces. New places. That's a good way to remember it, since I can't get it on the wall. New faces. New places. It's time to do a new thing. It's time to surround yourself with people who are obedient to God and who are surrendered and who can be of nurturing help and mentoring you. New faces, new places. So confession, earnest prayer on your part and others. It's humbling to tell people I need prayer. It's humbling when we're not used to that. It doesn't bother me, doesn't bother many of you. But people starting out and they're full of pride and they've been running on their own for years, it's hard for them to say, I need prayer, I desperately need help. But confession, earnest prayer by yourself and asking for the help and aid of others in prayer. For remember what 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are pulled down through prayer. Then new faces, new places. Those opposing forces, got to get past those 16 soldiers. Can't go back. Nothing changes, nothing changes. Can't go back to where if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Go back to that same mess. Go back to that same domain. Go back, visit that same party. You're going to get sucked right back in. Immediately. Get out of there. And can I say something here without offending anybody? Come down here. Get closer to you so you don't be mad at me. I get upset, and you've probably seen it in me. I get upset when I see you revisit domains. Don't do it. I get upset, and some of you say, boy, he's sure in your face. He sure tells you what to do. That's not what it's about. I'm more mature than that. I have no desire to micromanage anybody. The devil owned that domain you were living in. Hello? You got out of that mess. Don't revisit it. There's a demonic power there. I see people go to events and go to things, and I say, and they're like, well, that's none of your business. I know it's none of my business, but I know what'll happen if you revisit that domain, and nobody is exempt. Do you hear me? If you've been an alcoholic, don't hang out at the bar, hello? And don't have stupid arguments about social drinking. You can't go there because it was a stronghold. I don't have arguments with you about social drinking. Well, over in France, I don't live in France, and I'm not worried about that. We're above that. We're talking about something bigger here. I'm talking about a stronghold is a domain that the enemy had you. You weren't just tempted anymore. You moved in. You were camping over there. Are you with me? When you leave Egypt, don't go back and visit. Still got a job? Okay. One person's going to come next week. You say, Pastor, you get passionate about this. Do you know how much earnest prayer has gone up for you? Don't revisit the domain. We've had blood, sweat, and tears trying to help. People did that for me. Don't revisit the domain. I don't know why I feel that in my back, but I think that's a problem. Oh, I'm strong enough to handle that. The devil will get in. He'll weasel his way in. Strongholds. When it's been broken. When it's been broken. And you've had victory. Don't recross the moat and visit with the prideful idea. Oh, I'm fine. That's a lot of force over there, brother. There's a lot of force over there. And so you advise people and say, be careful of this, be careful of this. You're trying to protect the young Christians. And their response is, that's legalism. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know why God says thou shalt not? Because sin doesn't work. I used to tell my boys, thou shalt not ride thy bicycle on 450 North between 4:30 and 6:30. Thou shalt not ride thy bicycle. One of the commandments at the Robbins house. You know why I did that? Oh, he's restrictive. He's legalistic. He's trying to micromanage everybody. Oh, give it up. I'm more mature than that. No, when I was a little kid, I got hit twice. Smart kid. Got hit on a bicycle and got hit walking. I know what it's like to hit the pavement and see these big, huge headlights above you, and you hear siren in the background. You hear your mother praying and look up, and you're kind of coming to, and you're bleeding, and she's praying on the pavement beside you, and you hear an ambulance coming. I know what that's like, and so I said, thou shalt not ride thy bicycle. God made the law because he loves us. The law is made to protect us. He says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. It'll get you in trouble. We say, don't tell me what to do. Don't boss me around. The law was truly born out of love. And he illustrates that in the beautiful covenant in the New Testament, where he forgives us for every sin we ever committed and gives us a free, clean slate. The redemptive work on the cross was thorough and complete. Don't revisit the domains. Confession, earnest prayer, new faces, new places, accountability and support, the church. God's word, developing a prayer life and patience with yourself, for he's patient with you. Oh, I wish I had this on the wall. And I'll read it to you. Sow a thought, reap an action, Pastor, I already know that one. No, you don't. I changed it. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap an obsession. Feed an obsession, develop a stronghold. That's a true statement right there. Sow a thought, start thinking the wrong way. Start letting lustful thoughts come, entertain those thoughts. You reap an action. Then long until you're acting on that. Then you sow that action. Oh, then you're reaping a habit. This is becoming a habit. You sow that habit, you reap an obsession. This habit goes from a habit to an obsession. It's got a hold of me. You feed an obsession, you will reap a stronghold. And you'll end up with distorted thinking, corruption of character, and your destiny will be determined by it. Now, I hate it, I don't have it on the wall, because that'd be good to copy. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap an obsession. Feed an obsession, reap a stronghold. And when the stronghold takes over, you've moved in. You got distorted thinking. You've got corruption of character. And it will ultimately determine your destiny. I need to wind down here and finish. Three layers of captivity. Personal chains, 16 soldiers, walls of the prison. The first one, the stronghold, the wrists are bound. You got to have breakthrough. You got to have deliverance. The angel cried out and said, "Get up." And the light shined. The truth of God illuminates. The chains fell off. There wasn't any pulling. There wasn't any hacksaws. There wasn't any bolt cutters. The chains fell off. And I believe that the initial step is a spiritual step. The initial step is a spiritual step. I'm getting up. It's a spiritual step only between you and God. It's a one-on-one. But I believe that that step, I think we've at times watered that down. We've tried to get people to do that. You just keep pulling. No, I believe the initial thing's a spiritual thing. I believe the initial thing is a spiritual thing. Say that three times. I believe the initial breaking free is a spiritual thing because there's a demonic force and there's a stronghold and that only God can break. And you can take all the steps, all the medications, all the things in the world, but if the spiritual thing isn't broken, I think that first, and that is in your heart of hearts, in the root of your will, where you do a true surrender to God, and then I believe then that follows grace to do the other's a process. Took a little while to get out of prison here, and that varies from person to person. But that spiritual thing has to be broken first. But I believe when that's broken, because I believe it's demonic in nature, I believe when that is broken then, it is a walkthrough. It's not a walk in the park, but it's a walkthrough. It's following the angel. It's following that light of God. You listening? Yeah, it's following through. It's getting rid of those opposing forces. It's getting the new faces, new places. It's going with accountability. It's heading for church as soon as you realize you're outside. It's every time the light's on, you say, "I'm going to be there. I don't care if it's what meeting it is, I will be there." And you're surrounding yourself, and it is a process, and it varies from person to person. But strongholds can be broken. And Jesus didn't bleed and die and descend into hell so we could turn over a new leaf. He did it to break strongholds and to make us champions and to turn us into wounded healers and to give us a presence about us. And can I tell you a secret? That spiritual thing is broken and you walk through that process, which may vary from person to person, and you glue yourself to the church in new places and new faces and you surround yourself with that, there'll be a power come up within you that you'll be the one bringing deliverance and God using you for others. And it'll be amazing how God will work in your life. Because I believe the Spirit flows very effectively through people who have had the same scars. Does that make sense? I believe the Spirit flows very effectively through people who have the same scars. When I walk into a room of somebody that has not a hair on their head, and the IVs are all popping and blinking, and there's the bag hanging up here, and a second bag with some blood. The first bag has crossbones on it, and it says idarubicin, an Erisi on the side of it. And I go up to the bedside, and tears come up in my eyes. And I reach over and put my hand on that bald head and say, I was in this room and have had large doses of idarubicin and Erisi to a point they had to do neurological testing to make sure it wasn't damaging my brain thinking ability. I've been through cancer. There's a softening in the face of the most bitter person, and they say, you have? You were here? And the door just opens and the Spirit flows. Don't you dare put me on some kind of pedestal. I'm just a wounded healer. And so are you. Now get up and decide to follow Jesus. It starts with a spiritual break. The steps are going to be a million times harder if you don't. You got to do the spiritual thing first. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. It is a process. I don't take away from that. Our weapons are not fleshly. Our weapons are not fleshly. I said it starts with a spiritual thing. Our weapons are not fleshly, but they are powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank you for the deliverance you've brought to people in this room. It's all I can do sometimes, look around. This room's full of miracles, absolutely full of miracles. Guide us on these truths. If I've said anything that's out of line, melt it in people's minds. I believe the message has been given in the power and intensity of the Holy Spirit. But if there's any portion of it that was not the case, melt that away. You can melt that away in people's minds. Help us to be stronger in you than we ever have before. In Jesus' name. While you're standing for a moment, if there's anybody here that would like prayer this morning, this room over here is available to my right, your left. I know I've been pretty intense this morning. This is pretty serious stuff, though. Pretty serious stuff. People have been bound for years. If there's anybody that feels they need to pray, wants to slip into the room to my right, you're welcome to do that. I know a number were at the altar at open altar time. I know often messages of this type, people want to kind of soak in it, think on it. That's okay too. I don't want to close without giving someone the opportunity. As I finish the prayer, if you'd like to slip into that room, there'll be pastors and various leaders that would be glad to pray with you. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us in this service. Thank you for your presence in the music. Thank you for your presence in the service. Be with us as we go from this place. May your blessing be on the teen ministry this evening. Guide all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.